I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Welcome, everyone, to Soul School Lesson 66. This is the second Soul School of 2017. And if you listen to the first one that I did, you will know that I am doing only one program per week now. And this episode is called Time and the Violation of Our Values. There's a few things I'm going to point out here, some scientific studies and some interesting parallels about how power and wealth and responsibility can curtail our time and can curtail our values. And I thought there were some interesting things I'd like to share with you. And if you'd like the show notes to this episode or to any episode, you can become a Patreon sponsor. For just $1 a month, you get show notes to every single episode. I'm also pulling back to one episode a week to make sure that I can have more time for writing and some other projects that I'd like to do, and I will have no way to do them unless I cut some things back. If you're able to sponsor at a higher level, that means that I could hire some people to handle some of the production side of it and go back up to 2 shows a week, which I'd love to do, but there's no way I can do it if I'm doing everything myself. Another thing you might have missed out on, perhaps, is from January 4th to January 8th, I gave away 8 books that I've published on Amazon.com. And hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of downloads happened, and that made me so happy. If you missed out on that, you can go to Amazon.com and look under my pen name, Lisa Colon DeLay, C-O-L-O-N DeLay, D-E-L-A-Y, and you can still look up my books. They're not more than a few dollars a piece. And maybe just pick out one or two that you'd like to read that you might be interested in. Of course, you can still get the books, and I won't be able to offer them free for at least a year. But that was really fun to see that many people downloaded them, and I hope you really appreciate them and enjoy them. If you have any questions about anything in those books, or you'd like me to cover any topics that you read about, please contact me and let me know. I'd be happy to cover some of those topics that I did in those books. Another thing I'd like to mention is the Soul School field trip. This will be the first time I've done an event related to my podcast audience. I've done workshops and classes and retreats and all sorts of things, but never have I invited my podcast audience to be a part of that. And so I'm calling it Soul School Field Trip. It's going to be held the last weekend in July in central eastern Pennsylvania in a beautiful retreat center. It'll be a very, very small group. Purposefully, because I'm just trying this out and I want it to be an intimate setting where we can converse as friends and we can get to know each other, talk about things that we talk about in Soul School or the other episodes that I've covered, and in just a really relaxed atmosphere. We will eat together, we'll laugh together, we'll have some wine, have some good food. It's gorgeous there. It's on the Appalachian Trail. If you'd like to be a part of that, you can check out the public notice that I put up on patreon.com/sparkmymuse. You can look at a bunch of pictures from the retreat center that's there. There's little cottages that we'll be able to stay in. And you can give me a shout out if you want me to reserve a spot ahead of time. Again, only 10 people will be able to come in total. So that will be something that I give you more information about in the springtime, and I'll have an early bird special, and I hope that some of you will join me in this wonderful time. There was a study about the Good Samaritan that took place at Princeton Theological Seminary. This was among seminary students. These were students that planned to go into ministry. They planned to help people for a living. And the study went like this. Students were assigned to either give a sermon on the Good Samaritan or give a sermon on vocation. When they got to their classroom to give the sermon, they received a note that said, you have to go from this building to another building. And on their way to the other building, an actor was placed on their path who was really suffering, just like the Good Samaritan would have come across the Jewish man who would have been robbed and beaten and left for dead. They would have also come across someone in their path to help. What they found is that a lot of these people, even though they were on their way to give a sermon about this very thing, they actually didn't help this person in need. And they planned to be someone who was going to help people in need. And And on the surface, you might think, that's so horrible. Like, I can't believe people are that cold-hearted. I can't believe people can be so blind and so uncaring. But what actually is the case, if you look deeper into the particulars of the experiment, the people who actually stopped to help were people who were less hurried than the people who didn't. So of the people who were most hurried because their time constraints were the most serious, they had to go a longer distance to get to the building they were supposed to get to, they were in a terrible rush, only 10% of those people stopped to help. But the people who were in the least amount of hurry, they had the closest building to go to, they had the least worry on their mind, get there in the right amount of time, 64% of those people helped. So it wasn't about their heart or their willingness to help. It was about the anxiety and the stress and the rushing and the worry about how late they were going to be and how downgraded perhaps they would be for being late to class. People who are given a lot of responsibility are so in their own heads that they can't look around, will set aside their values, often inadvertently, they'll set aside their values for whatever urgent thing is at hand. And even people who are studying to be ministers, people who are setting aside their entire lives for a vocation to minister to others and to serve others for their whole lives. This is a very startling study. Another study has been done about drivers of very expensive cars. Drivers of the most expensive cars are the most inconsiderate to pedestrians. Now, you would think, perhaps, that if you can afford a very expensive car, you would have quite a bit of money, and maybe you'd have quite a bit of responsibility. And if you had quite a bit of money and quite a bit of responsibility and quite a bit of power, you could perhaps delegate that power and have more freedom. But in fact, that's not usually what happens. Usually, if you have more money and more responsibility and more power, you are more worried and more rushed and more hectic in your life. And people become a nuisance and a bother and an annoyance, and you become more rude. And people tend to give less to charity than other people who make less money, who have less responsibility. Things just become a little twisted in our value sets. It's not necessarily because a person's character is corrupted, although that can eventually happen. A lot of times it's because the constraint of time and the perception of time will give us the sense that our needs and the matters at hand are the most important things. And our selfishness takes over and we set our values aside. So it's all the more important that we don't violate our values, we don't become impatient, full of anxiety, full of annoyance as we are given more responsibility. It becomes that much more important that we slow down, we look around, and we continually reconnect with our values, and we continually ask ourselves, especially as we move up the ladder in our organizations or in life, and we get more responsibility, am I truly connecting with my values? Am I still the person that I want to be? Am I still treating people with a high priority as I want to do? And that's one of the reasons why power can corrupt. We can use an example of a man, for instance, who might go into the teaching profession. He starts out, he thinks, you know what would be wonderful is to really inspire and impact young lives. I'm going to teach history. I'm going to imbue values and a sense of context and really inspire young men and women for the future. So he goes into the profession, he starts to inspire them. He does well, he's promoted to the head of the department, helps with the curriculum, decides that he wants to take on some extra responsibilities, so he goes back to school and gets his master's, then he takes enough classes to become the assistant principal and gains more and more responsibility. Then he goes back to get enough credentials to become the principal. And then over the course of that time, he's become more and more disconnected from the actual reason why he went into teaching in the first place. He went in because of the kids. But somewhere along the line, over the years, it became about responsibility and all of the obligations and duties and responsibilities of the school. And over the years, he forgot that the whole point was the kids. And so here he is as a principal, and the kids don't seem connected to him, and they don't get a sense that he's there for them at all. He's just doing the work of the school. He's just getting things done because they need to get done. And his values essentially have been slowly but very surely set aside, because the time constraints and the responsibility and the anxiety made people an annoyance to him, made him impatient with children and young people. And so what could he do to reconnect with his values? Perhaps he could go back and ask himself some really important penetrating questions. Why did I get into this field? Why is it such a bother to me right now? Why don't I feel connected, and why do things feel meaningless? Why did I get into this in the first place? Oh, that's right. I really like kids. I really like inspiring them. I really like setting them on a course to having a really meaningful, rich life. I want them to grow up to be contributing, helpful members of society. And in asking those powerful questions, you can get reconnected with your values again. The other thing is purposefully slowing down to see people. Doing things like going to bed early instead of watching that extra show or surfing on the web or the phone or anything like that. Giving yourself enough time in the morning to truly get ready so that you're not rushed, so you can see people, and giving yourself plenty of cushion of time. If it takes 20 minutes to get into work, give yourself 40 minutes. Get there early, or slow down on your drive so you don't have to feel impatient with the traffic and with all the things that pop up in your way. So that you're able to slow down if you see that a student is having a problem or a coworker. In these ways, a person can reconnect with their real vocation and with their real values and the things that are most important to them. Now, we all do this because we get more responsibilities as we go through life, usually, unless we're so bad at what we do that we get demoted. But a lot of times as we get older, we get more responsibilities and we can lose our way. And power can corrupt in those ways. So the parable of the Good Samaritan is actually very interesting, because the people who cross by and don't help, the beaten man who's been robbed and his clothes taken and his money taken, those are important people in society. The priest and the Levite cross over on the other side. They have things to do. They're busy, important people. The Samaritan is on his way somewhere, but he's able to still notice other people. He's able to notice people's needs. He's not going to step over this person. He's not going to think, I'm in a terrible rush. I really can't help. It'd be nice to help, but I really can't. Or I can't busy myself with this right now, or I'm going to be late for my meeting. He has enough time in his schedule to stop and to care and to notice. And so that's really a lesson for us too. The Good Samaritan story isn't just a parable about helping someone in need, which it is, but it's also being able to not let time squeeze us out and ruin our perspective. It's about staying in close contact and connection with our truest values. And so my homework for you today, as I always try to have homework in these Soul School lessons, my homework for you is to ask yourself a few penetrating questions about your values, and if you've lost any connection with your original values in your life. Have you set any aside and you think of people as an annoyance or a bother? Are there any ways that you can slow down your life a little bit more, or get more rest so that you're more aware and more able to see people in your life instead of treating them with impatience? It'd be such a shame to go through your life thinking that people and relationships were the most important to you, when all the while you were missing opportunities to help people and you were overlooking people right in front of you because your priorities and your time constraints were skewing your perspective. I thank you so much for listening today. And instead of listening to a show on Friday, because there'll be a new show, there won't be, but I invite you to go into the archives for this show. Go back to October 2015 and work your way up from those Soul School shows up until now. See if you can find some shows in there that you haven't heard already. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that there's a lot of shows you may have not heard that are very good, and I think you'll really enjoy them. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you soon. Don't forget to check out sparkmymuse.com with their show notes to this episode and every episode, with related links and photos and all kinds of extra goodies. But I also want to ask a special favor too. Please donate $5 or $10 to the show. It's listener supported. It makes a very big difference when you help out. Another thing that helps out is a rating or a review on iTunes and spreading the word with friends and family. Please help the show survive, and thank you so much for listening.